Satanism 101. We are in session 3. This is part 2 of session 3 on biblical revelation on Satanism. So session 3, biblical revelation on Satanism, part 2. You should be looking down at page number 9. Page number 9, if you're using the notes at all. Page 9 begins with this. Biblical revelation also exposes these six things. Satan has power, but is not omnipotent. Satan has wisdom, but is not omniscient. Satan is present, but not omnipresent. Satan is finite, not infinite. VIP, very important. Satan lost in all his attacks on God. And the last thing here, Satan's doom has been foretold. Well, let's begin with the first. Satan has power, but is not omnipotent. Now, that's very important to understand as a believer. Why could we read in the book of 1 John, the Spirit of God saying to the believer, greater, the Greek word megdala, greater is the one who is in you than the one who is in the world, referring to Satan. The book of 1 John reveals Satan in his activity, counterfeit anointings, the spirit of error and the spirit of truth, and so forth. So, and it's a warning. I'm writing this to you concerning those who are trying to lead you astray. So the spiritual, probably what would have been like Gnostics in the beginning, were, you know, coming into churches with all kinds of false spirituality, counterfeit to Christianity, trying to lead Christians astray. So the whole book is about evidences of real Christians, which were their confession of who Jesus really is. Their confession will demonstrate that they really love the Word of God and will obey it, because fake or false spirituality won't. And their doctrinal beliefs, you know, concerning Jesus is the eternal Christ that came in human flesh, and that they begin to, that we begin to live in the agape love of Jesus. So there's a tremendous demonstration of true and false Christians, true and false spirituality, and it deals very directly with Satan in that book. Well, like we already said earlier in the first part of this, I write to you, young believers, because you are strong. The Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome Satan. You've overcome the evil one. So now when we come to chapter 4 in 1 John, I write to you because what? Great. I mean, this. When you look at the whole, you know, again and again, he's going to say, I write to you. But the writing comes down in chapter 4. Greater is the one in you. And that's in the context of the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. And dealing with the very activity of Satan and of God's activity, and saying to the believer in Christ, hey, greater, megdala, massive, is the presence of the infinite Spirit of God in you in comparison to the finite Satan in the world. I still think, no matter what we're going to do in revealing satanic stuff and acknowledging he's got, yes, he has power. There's no question he has power. Jesus acknowledged he has power. But, and that power, if it goes uncontested and nobody does anything about it, it can do so many things. But because Jesus has intervened, because the Word of God is more powerful, the Spirit of God is infinite and more powerful, because Jesus has given us authority, the armor of God, the believer is again to live in a fearlessness and a great work. So we acknowledge, as does Jesus in Scripture, Satan has power, the Greek word dunamis, that he's operating in a supernatural, secretive power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the secret power of lawlessness. Antinomianism, the idea that that the secret power is operating in every sense of the term, in complete fighting opposition in an adversarial way against any part of the presence of God, the truth of God, the kingdom of God. That's what the idea of the man of lawlessness is all about. He is opposed to the rule, realm, law, presence of God. Well, Satan has power, but listen, he's not omnipotent. He doesn't have all. God is omnipotent, has all power. Satan, number B on this says, Satan has wisdom, but is not omniscient. Yes, he has wisdom and knowledge, no question about that. And that's part of his offer. in Genesis 3 that he wants to give, you know, give people, give the human race a higher knowledge, bring us to a higher, you know, level of knowledge. But of course, that was a lie, and that's what's offered in the realms of Masonic teaching, secret societies, and everything else. There's this promise of elitist knowledge and wisdom and insight that is hidden and is only for the few, the initiates, the adepts, and so forth. But once again, Satan has wisdom. He has scheme. He has methodology. But he's not omniscient. He doesn't have all knowledge and power, and God, and all wisdom rather. And God does. God is omniscient in his knowing everything. And this is incredible. This is who you're in touch with. This is why Jesus knew what Satan was doing. That's why it's very important for us to realize that, listen, all we need to do sometimes in prayer is saying, Lord, you know, I don't know what's going on right now in my life, but I'm just, you know, show me what Satan is doing. Whether God brings a verse of scripture to you or the Spirit of God just kind of speaks to you about what's going on and may lead you, Lord, what do I do right now? And you may really feel about led by the Holy Spirit to really do some strong praying, to really get in the presence of God. And if you feel an assignment against you, or if the Lord reveals that somebody's doing something against you, then you can then respond powerfully. Powerfully. Without our responding, then we are just chewed up on. Under C here on that page, Satan is present, yes, somewhere. He's not present right here in front of me and probably not in front of you. He's out there somewhere. Is he in Europe? He can only be in one place at one moment in time. Now, he does move, and obviously, and in that realm, he's all over the place, but he can only be in one place at one time. The extension of his kingdom, though, as we read in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2 reveals Satan as the ruler of the power of the air is now at work in those who are disobedient. If they're living in disobedience to God, he has a supernatural operative work in their life. Now, that could be through, again, the hierarchy of demons that are probably grid mapped all over the earth, over each city, over each location, assignments, all that kind of stuff. I mean, you talk about military system. This is far beyond the CIA, the DOD, the DIA, military systems, whatever. They have a surveillance system that's beyond anything on the earth. They have a tracking system beyond anything. Don't forget, again, they have power, they have knowledge and wisdom, and they have presence, but it's all finite. That brings us to point D, under 3. Satan is finite and not infinite, and that's very important information. And that will bring again a picture. When you talk about, he does. Satan has more power than any one human being or all human beings on the face of the earth that are, you know, fallen, lost, that is. But when you're saved, not only are you freed from Satan's legalities over your life, you become marked and under the ownership of God Almighty. And that if Satan comes to attack you, you know, he has to go through God. So when we find biblical revelation that exposes Satanism in the satanic systems of popular Satanism, Anton LaVey, the Crowleyism, Luciferians, all that, where you have people that are doing direct satanic worship, individuals that we've met, so many times they're highly puffed up, man. We got great power, and they really do. I'll never forget a young man out of Cleveland. He believed that he had so much power from Satan that he could overcome any other coven, that he can have any woman, money, whatever. But still, he had called us for help. Finite power. A finite being can only come up with finite power. An infinite being comes with infinite power. Immeasurable power. Incomparable power. Now, I don't know if you've done this lately, but if you read in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, good study to get in the Word of God and look what it says about the incomparable great power for us who believe. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. So that's what you have now, dwelling within you, the presence of the infinite within you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, this is greater, Megdala, as we already said, But recognize again, Satan has power, but his power is finite and not infinite. Even if he went uncontested, he can't bring about infinite results. He doesn't have the power to. He can't create a world. He can't create humanity. He can come in to use or transmute. Matter of fact, he can't create anything from nothing. No pre-existent material. Satan lost under Eve. Satan lost in all his attacks on God. Remember Ezekiel 28. And remember the five I wills where Satan in Isaiah seeks to take the throne of God. And he is cast down. It is said of him, you fool, you'll be cast down. He has won the commitment of one third of the angels. He did win in his confrontation with us, the human race. He didn't win it in a sense of an absolute sense, because God already had in plan and in motion a saving plan, a rescuing plan. But we do see that he's done stuff. He has won among some of the angels. He has won in the human race. And where human beings give more to him, he wins all the more in those lives. But in every contest against God himself, he is utterly, completely, totally lost. And in his future, now listen, you know what the future holds? If you understand, again, biblical revelation comes from biblical prophecy. What does God say Satan will be doing in the future? Revelation 19:19 is the biggest thing. How do we get there is the question we need to deal with. Revelation 19:19 shows that the beast, the counterfeit incarnation with the false prophet, has led probably millions of soldiers to come into the Middle East, gather around Jerusalem, probably bringing the most technologically advanced supercharged weapons, the most demonized multinational global force in human history. And he brings all of the satanic power and all of the human vessel ship, they're literally humans become his vessels, to do one thing. If you read Revelation 19:19, he is there for one reason and one reason only: to fight, to make war. He has come to wage war against the descent and coming, the apocalypse of Jesus, the visible appearance of Jesus into the world. He has gathered everything he can to battle that, to stop it. And if you read Revelation 19:19 and Revelation 19:20, you're going to see that it corresponds to the book of Daniel, to the book of Thessalonians, chapter 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that he is utterly, and this is future, it hasn't occurred yet, but that he is utterly destroyed, completely and thoroughly and absolutely destroyed. When he comes with, he could not have gathered greater power. He has every demon of the one third of the angels, every single bit of the technology he's manifested, every single human he could possibly get in the tens of millions, maybe even a couple billion backing him. I don't know what the actual numbers will be, but it's very possible that a couple billion will back the political and military structure that will come to gather with, again, the most advanced weaponry that was inspired by him in the first place to be made. And guess what? He loses. It's not that he doesn't cause damage, because that the whole issue here is that he deceives people into eventually taking the mark. And this is part of our dealings of evangelists, and to keep people, that's why we need to expose, we need to share, we need to cut into the New Age movement and everywhere else we can, and bring people the good news, the incredible power of God. Listen, bottom line, Satan's doom is literally foretold, absolutely foretold. So not only is, and I believe again, he knows this. He knows Scripture, but I also believe that he seeks to battle it, fight it, do everything he can to not let that happen. But it's going to happen. And this is kind of information that we can share again with Satanists. If you ever talk to one, what if you ever talk to one? What if you're dealing and ministering to satanic ritual abuse victims? Well, there's probably over 4 million diagnosed cases nationwide. They're showing up in churches everywhere, in psych wards and counseling centers. So you might end up counseling somebody who's been a ritual abuse or in your church you've heard of and know of. So this is why you need to have your content down. To have your content down, it's more important to have the content of biblical revelation, to have that accurate, complete, and strategic revelation so that you can then interact, even in the sense of not only proclamation of the gospel in the context of what a Satanist believes, but apologetics. When a traditional Satanist may ask you, well, what is it? Why do you believe in Jesus? And you know, you can give them directly an answer. And you can ask them questions. You know, have you met Satan? Do you know him? You know, most of the ritual abuse, you know, many of the priestesses and others that I've dealt with, and even really people who claim to be high up in Satanism, and I'll ask them straight out, have you ever met Satan directly? Directly. And in almost every case, no, not directly. Demons, power demons, other demons. Again, he's not everywhere at one time. Every single believer, this is the difference. Compare this. All of the satanic priests of all the covens and grottos, all the Luciferians in the most hidden underground places in all the world. Now, I don't doubt that Satan has showed up to some of the elites, groups in Europe and other places. I believe that he does literally make appearances, presence, even manifestation, even showing sign, wonder, and again, supernatural presence among them. But I really believe that, you know, one of the comparisons, in all of the real Satanists around the world, does Satan dwell within all of them? Do they have fellowship with him? Can they talk to him? Can he talk to them daily? No. At the very most, they all have differing lesser demon spirits in them. Whereas in the body of Christ, I have 300 million brothers and sisters in China who Jesus, the same Jesus that I know right this moment in my life, and the same Jesus right now in your life, we both, listen, this is the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, again, immeasurable God, where Christ literally is alive. How could he be in two places at once? What about in 1 billion hearts at once? That's the greatness of God. That's the greatness of knowing Jesus. He is with me. He is in my life, but he is in your life and fully with you. There is no fading in his power. It's not like God can only be in 1 billion people. And if he goes to, you know, 1 billion 100, that we all begin to fade in power. It's not like electricity to where if you use too much of it, you know, there can be brownouts and rollovers and blackouts and whatever else. There is no potential fade in the presence and power and living, direct, inseparable, unceasing, living presence of Jesus. You have them all the time if you're a believer. And every other believer, millions of them all over, have Jesus. This is something that goes so far beyond all of Satanism. It's incredible. The reason why a lot of Satanists, you know, are really into it, because all they've ever seen, and that's especially true of satanic ritually abused people, all they've ever seen is the satanic powers. All they've ever felt was the demon powers. Yes, they're pumped up because of the powers, supernatural abilities that they've been given, the so-called occult third eye open, demon empowerments and so forth, and abilities and ritual powers. They've seen things, experienced things. But one engagement with the living, authoritative, and yet even compassionate presence, power of Jesus, blows all of what they have been involved with out of the water. Totally out of the water. So again, launching out in a freedom and in a biblical boldness in Jesus. Well, I want to go to point 4 on this page now. And this is page 9. Biblical revelation reveals satanic rituals. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Old Testament, 2 Kings, chapters 21 through 23. And you will not only see that Manasseh brought in every kind of god, goddess, starry host, every kind of worship he can bring in, to the point where it keeps getting you know, when one demon comes in, they want to bring in many more and eventually usher in strongholds and bring in systems of ritual that will even bring more demons in and keep them there and give them the rights to be there until they claim the land, let alone the people. They claim the land, the politics, everything. So Manasseh even sacrifices his own son. He's led by the spiritual forces in his life to give up his own son. Babylon was like that with every kind of satanic practice when Daniel lived there. And Daniel lived spiritually powerful, even among the scrutinizing day-by-day meticulous attack. Daniel lived resolved not to give in or be corrupted. And I would pray that we would do that. And no matter how spiritually dark it gets, it only means one thing. You can shine all the brighter. No matter how much satanic power is around us, it only means one more thing. That we can see the power of God displayed all the more. So no matter how dark, how spiritually, you know, ugly it's going to get, you and I are the light of the world and we don't hide under a basket. The scripture gives revelation of satanic rituals in the Old Testament. A king sacrifices his own son on the wall in the context of military battle, which brings demonic power and causes them to win against Israel. And any study even of African religion and the Hittites, Philistines, and so forth, they conjure dark powers to win on a military level. They looked to their gods and goddesses and they would sacrifice. They would do what was necessary to draw the most powerful of spiritual presence upon them that they might win a battle. Let me tell you something right now, and you might have to think through this. There are no military battles in the world today that do not have behind them one or other of supernatural forces. Demonic forces are working in and upon military groups and to bring bloodshed, which in a sense is like ritual that gives foothold and doorway to misery, fear. You know, what does Satan and demons live in? They live in fear. They live in misery. They live in horror. They live in terror. They live in death. Even the fear of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Satan's all about the fear of death. But somebody has come to conquer that. Also, God shows Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, God one time takes him and literally by supernatural, and this will give us a, you know, a heads up about part of our spiritual warfare, about how God works. God knows how to reveal things in your town, in your family history. Again, whatever secret groups, covens, whatever is around. Here's what God did with Ezekiel, the prophet, way back then. He literally showed him by supernatural, you know, revelation, showed him the actual physical things that were going on. He had him look literally as if God created a doorway into a cave, into an underground place, a hidden secretive place, where the literally 70 elders of Israel. Notice this. It's like a counterfeit to even the 70 elders of Israel here. You've got now God showing the prophet what the elders of Israel are really doing behind the scenes. That they're in caves, in dark, hidden places, with symbols all over the place, doing satanic worship, detestable things, which would include sex, satanic sex, sex rituals, bestiality rituals, blood rituals left and right. They're practicing all this in satanic orgies. It's all occurring right in the nation Israel, with some of the very leadership that have been drawn in, and God exposed it. Isn't that great? God exposed it. So when we talk about the Bohemian Grove, and I encourage you, go to the Shadow of the Darkness site and where it says the assault on Bohemian Grove. Please understand, it's probably one of the most one major ritual site. And it's incredible that we have what was going on in Ezekiel's day, in the days of 2 Kings and Manasseh, we have the very same thing. So far, we're just seeing, you know, an outward little pieces, not even the tip of the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg of underground satanic stuff. What Alex Jones has shown in the videos that are there is only the tip. And we must pray that God bring to us revelation, insight, supernatural, providential. That's part of a warfare prayer, to expose evil deeds of darkness. You can't expose what you don't know about and what you're not willing to see. And literally, look what God did. That's part of what's happening in this course. God's taking you in to see things so that you can do what? You can pray about them, pray against satanic forces, realize, you know, the alarm bells can go off in urgency. You know, for me, when I study the dark side, you know what happens to me? It kind of puts a fire in me for God against the dark side. When I see that, you know, more of their stuff and more of what they're doing and more of where they're at and everything else and how things are, it puts in me a sense of, again, nothing but fire to stand up and say, no, I will fight for the souls of men, and I will fight against the presence of evil, the demons who are manifesting. And if it takes exposure of stuff and exposing it, if it takes so-called risking your life, you know what? Without stepping out and being willing like Ezekiel, again, this is biblical. This is biblical. This is Bible. We're in Bible school. We're in Sunday school now. But you probably never heard this taught in Sunday school, that Ezekiel was taken in by God himself to see the literal satanic practices that was in the city going on unknown by anybody else. And I'm going to tell you right now from what I know, I guarantee in your city there is secret satanic worship. Secretive. Sex rituals, blood rituals, other things, powers being released. In some of them that are pretty sophisticated, I'm going to tell you again, and I'll be doing this throughout the entire course, revealing things. They have knowledge of all the churches. In some cases, they put people in churches for reconnaissance to come back to their meetings and report what the churches are doing, what the pastors are doing, who their troublemakers are. I guarantee you my name's been there, but I don't care. I don't care. Hopefully, our name is in heaven. Remember when the angel came to Daniel, the book of Daniel, said to Daniel, can you imagine this? You know, he first said to Daniel, you who are highly esteemed. By whom? By God. We should only care that God is pleased and that there is joy in his presence about our obedience to him and our faith, our unleashing grace, but also unleashing warfare against the unprecedented ramping up of satanic powers. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, my friend? Did you think this was just a course where you get information, you read all this, you know, gory information? Can I tell you something? I was invited to speak at a ladies charismatic meeting years ago, some kind of meeting. And I remember the leader of this group coming up to me, a very, very wealthy individual. And they said, listen, you know, we know somewhat about your ministry. Would you just come and tell them all the gory stories, you know, deliverance stories, what the demons say, you know, people falling on the ground and you know, blood rituals that we have found here, there, whatever. It's like, just get up and tell all the stories. But of course, they just want to know the stories and to say, wow, wow, wow. But no participation, no willingness. If you are willing to be used of God in this day, in this generation, and in the next 10 years, if we have that much left, you're going to see an unprecedented work of Jesus and the power of God through your life in the context of battling real satanic powers, in the rescuing of and the winning of souls to Jesus Christ. You're going to see possibly and hear about the most incredible, satanic, filthy crimes. You might even feel attacked by satanic presence and power or rituals being done against you. But if you stand in the presence of God with a faith that will not go away, you will realize that you have authority over all the power of the enemy, that you have the armor of God that protects you, that you stand in the manifested presence and power, mighty power of God, and that you become such a weapon of the Lord Jesus against the presence and power of evil. Listen, demon-possessed people can't get saved until the demons are kicked out. Demonized people that are deceived through doctrines of demons cannot get out unless Holy Spirit doctrine of God, the gospel, the power of the gospel is proclaimed, and even prayers are given against the satanic blinding that's going on in their lives, that their eyes might be open and that they might get saved. Listen, faith comes from hearing. The word of God has to be given to these individuals. And if many Christians are just simply afraid of those kind of people, of Satanists or of people that are into occultists and people in secret societies and Masons, you know, I don't care if a guy's a Mason, I'm going to a Mason and tell him to repent. If it's a deacon or elder in a church, I'm going to tell him to repent all the more and get out of this hypocrisy in serving the Luciferian light of Masonic teaching. Have no problem with that. And what a compromise. It happened in the days of Israel. It's got to be happening now. And that doesn't mean, listen, we need verified information. Don't go around speculate. God will give you the real information. Even when it comes to, you know, if there's people in the church, you know, people right now are begging me to look into a major, you know, evangelist guy out there that they say that some people are saying great revival and things occurring, and they want me to look into it. And I've been looking into it, and my concern at this point is I'm seeing some counterfeit stuff. I'm seeing some stuff that's wrong. I'm seeing a false connection to maybe what may be demons masquerading as angels. And it may be that this individual is a cult multiple, that he is up front seeming like one thing, but inside of him, sub-personalities, that the powers being generated are coming from the dark spirits. Anyway, we're looking into it. So we need to be engaged in order to for God to lead us in our own towns and places to pray against. You know, if they're unleashing more powers and more powers and more powers, don't you want to pray against? But you got to target it. You got to know where it's being done. How are you going to expose, if they're taking little children and satanically doing things, sex rituals, how are we going to know unless we really allow God to use us and reveal to the point where it has to be uncovered and has to be dealt with? That's why we've talked about, you'll see us mention sometimes the Josiah Project, the idea of God using Josiah to, you know, go in and shut down some places and to just literally, I'd love to do this with Bohemian Grove. I'm praying constantly that whether by earthquake, whatever God wants to do, I'm praying that God's going to destroy the ritual site in a supernatural way, but visible to those involved. But it needs also the powers that have been released need to be dealt with there too. And the underground basements, and there's all kinds of underground places there, hidden places. It's all about being hidden. The whole Bohemian Grove is super secret. And the sad thing is that obviously some people with powers, Secret Service and others, you know, and some might be dupes and unwittings from what really goes on behind the scenes, thinking it's just governmental, you know, protection. But maybe there's a Secret Service agent, maybe somebody who's been employed there, maybe even one of those priests in the robes that God might encounter them like he did Saul of Tarshish, save them, bring them out to confess, bring out video, bring out tape, whatever it may be. Listen, are you involved? Do you really want to be involved in dealing with this? Hallelujah. Because it goes even further in the days that we live. Now remember the Old Testament, the power encounters, Moses and Pharaoh? And, you know, the priests of Pharaoh threw down their rods and they turned into snakes. And then, of course, you know, Moses threw down the staff of God, the rod of God, and it turned into a big snake and devoured theirs. When it comes to power encounters, obedient believers will be used. The powers of God will come through our prayers, through our giftings, workings, or the authority we have to, in every case, crush the satanic powers if we're doing the, you know, being obedient to the Lord. And that can be a visible thing. Like in the book of Acts, remember the Jewish sorcerer. When Paul was in there and finally turned to him, filled with the Spirit, he said, you know, you're always perverting the right ways of the Lord. Now the hand of God came against the man. And a mist went over him. Something happened. Something visible, physical occurred. He instantly, in front of everybody, again, this was a satanic type priest. Instantly, he went blind. God demonstrated power over this elitist who would behind the scenes would claim elitist knowledge and ability to see that nobody else sees things. And yet God blinded him. And he did it right in the context of preaching the gospel, right in the context of a power encounter. But God needed and uses an obedient servant who won't back away. That's what happened with Philip when he went into Samaria, as we already said. So learning the knowledge, learning the information is one thing. And being on the field is where we should be taken, because it's only just begun. And let me deal with F just real quick on this page 9, the Nephilim. Now, again, everybody's talking about it today. And again, coast to coast, millions of people are getting into it. So now there's more and more and more information. Now, the fact is in Genesis chapter 6, right? We're told that the Nephilim, the giants, some would say they're called the fallen ones, were on the earth in those days. This is prior to the flood. The B'nai Elohim, fallen angels, went down, took the daughters of men, had sex with them, and obviously created offspring. And the Bible records this. The book of Enoch gives enormous information about this. And it also says, though, look at the scripture in Genesis 6, that these Nephilim were on the earth then, but then it says this, and then again later. Now, I believe it not only refers to later on in Jewish history, the Old Testament history, with the Zamzumis, the Anakites, Anak, and others in the Old Testament, Nephilim-oriented tribes. Again, what you're dealing with here then is a demon-human hybrid that is no longer a human and operates, you know, they only operated evilly. They were just really a vessel. It's kind of, again, the goal, I believe, was that Satan was trying to corrupt the bloodline and lost that because God used the flood to stop it. And to save humanity. The flood was an act of salvation in the context of the worst presence, corrupt presence, filthy presence, twisted presence of the Nephilim on the earth. Now, I do believe that there's has been for a long time. Aleister Crowley in his literature talks about a moonchild. Military systems, including specifically the systems of the Old Testament being led all the way to the New, as far as bloodlines, the idea of the Nazis going after Aryan blood, which was Nephilim blood, trying to find the blood that brings humans back to a kind of God-man status. And I think that's dark spirituality has been brought into underground and corrupted military black ops projects. I believe some of the technology is coming from the enemy. And I believe the goal to recreate Nephilim has been in process for a long time. And I would not be surprised, nor do I doubt, that they're here again in some level, or at least something like them. Now, I'll talk more about this later too, but a lot of those, hundreds and hundreds of those from the satanic ritual abuse background, their inner sub-personalities that have been involved in the technology part of it, will reveal that that's been the goal, to recreate Nephilim. Some believe, and I think this is a good thing to think through at least, that the counterfeit incarnation will have something to do with kind of the bloodline and the idea of, Nephilim was what? A combination of a demon and a human creating what? Now, the Antichrist will be, there'll be a counterfeit conception, just like in the Nephilim thing, but it would be Satan directly causing rituals called marriage to the beast involves sex, it involves breeders, it involves demonizing the causing demonization the moment of conception, demonizing the fetus. Whether you believe it or not, they believe, and I don't want to get too heavy into this right now, but through particular rituals, they believe they kill off the human spirit, and that the being, the physical being being born, is only operating under the power of demonic infusion through a genetic and DNA process, a transmutation. Well, you can look up extra biblical sources. Back to Sumer, people are calling it hidden history, hidden archaeology. What they're digging up is a lot of the ancient Nephilim tribes, demonized tribes, demon gods and goddesses, and they're just simply reopening the doors. And so some of the most powerful places, like the Mayans and many other places, where wherever you find a ziggurat, you find human sacrifice, you find the worship of demons as gods, and you find Nephilim presence. You can find some of this information, again, extra-biblical sources, Book of Jasher, Jubilees. And I do believe the Book of Enoch is the prophecy of Enoch, and I believe the Bible confirms it, and it literally confirms Scripture. And I think that it's a prophecy of Enoch, and we need to read everything he says about the Nephilim. No contradictions there. Well, we come to the New Testament. We want to say this kind of quickly because we only have less than 20 minutes away in this second part. Book of Acts, you're going to see again incredible interactions. Now listen, when we go to the New Testament, we already see Jesus immediately engaged with Satan in Matthew 4. We've seen Satan looking for a more opportune time. We've seen Satan right there coming close to the crucifixion, that he enters into Judas and goes out. He was behind spiritual force, spiritual power was behind the betrayal of Jesus that involved the officers, the military, in a sense, temple guard of the day, that they came to get Jesus as he was betrayed and told. And of course, under Rome, obviously it took the military to be involved to crucify him. So satanic presence and power operated in false religious systems, in individual hearts, and in the political system, in the crucifixion of Jesus. The book of Acts reveals again in Acts chapter 5, Satan tries to enter the church through Ananias and Sapphira. By the way, they had their hearts wide open through lies and through deceit. They literally are there allowing this kind of testing of the church, conspiring. The Greek word deals with a testing to see the durability, to see if they can pull the wool over the eyes of the church. And that goes on to this very day. Even Galatians talks about infiltrators that come in. You got to realize that's part of what Satan does. We got to quit blaming the church and joining up with the accuser of the brethren and start saying, hey, our churches are being attacked by satanic infiltration. We need to do something about it. So just blaming everybody. A lot of Christians are completely unaware of these satanic super soldiers that we've been talking about. And they are out there all over. And they will get worse. Well, we look at Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts, chapter 8, that again is defeated and his powers are defeated. We look at the Jewish sorcerer. When Paul, in the mist that we just talked about, comes over him and he goes blind in the power encounter. We have the Nicolaitans in the book of Revelation, which I believe were satanic. They were worshipers of Satan directly, Lucifer directly, and that they were involved in knowing the deep secrets. Read Revelation 2, the deep secrets of Satan. We also have the coming rise of Antichrist, false prophet, which includes counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, doctrines, false apostles. Many antichrists come prior to the Antichrist. Revelation, all the way up to Revelation 16, when the ritual. By the way, in Rome, they had a lot of Bacchus, the cults, and so forth. A lot of blood rituals there. Revelation 16 shows the release of demonic, literally occult-oriented, targeted, focused spiritual warfare, of their release of demons on the kings of Europe, the kings of the earth, in deceiving them into coming into war against Jesus. Point number 5 on page 10, Revelation of Satanic Worship and the World. Now, in the book of Revelation, you can go through and read again and again about the inhabitants of the earth. constantly when it's referring about the inhabitants of the earth, the inhabitants, literally the Greek word meaning the earth dwellers, those who would eventually take the mark of the beast, they reject, listen, 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 10, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. When people refuse to love the truth and so be saved, the perishing is there, but also then they become a vessel, an open vessel, especially in the last days. This is one of the warnings, okay? Listen, because of the information we know, biblically and culturally, guess what? When people are rejecting Jesus in this day and age, Satan will come in even all the more. Why? Because there's more manifestation of demons, more manifestation of doctrines of demons, more manifestation of false teachers, counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles to deceive the people that are perishing. So if they're already rejecting Jesus at some level, there's so many demons, so many satanic avenues now that that's why it's a very dangerous thing to reject Jesus, to reject the truth in this day and hour. And the closer we get, you know, to reject Jesus in the presence and power of God, you know, you can't just stay neutral. In the end, those last 7 years, you're either going to worship the beast or you're going to be born again. You're going to turn to the Lord. And there's a potential for a lot of martyrdom. Again, the body of Christ will be here and alive and well when Jesus returns to catch it up. But we know the wrath of Antichrist will bring the death of many believers. But would you rather be a believer in Jesus and go down as a martyr than to be someone who's taken up the mark and lose your soul forever with no second chance, lost forever? That's exactly what we need to warn younger Satanists and younger people that are involved and even people that are in lesser left-hand path groups. We need to give them spiritual warning and spiritual truth. God loves you. God wants you, man. God knows all about your life. Get out of that darkness, that kind of thing. So we're going to deal with the the rise of Babylon also. We can see Revelation 18. It is literally, look at Revelation 19 when you read, or 18 rather, when you read Revelation 18, you're going to find that there is a, again, unprecedented, unequaled manifestation of demonic, of demons in life, in politics, in territories, in places, and so forth. Well, we also have the coming mark that's probably being worked on and eventually will be revealed. The image of the beast that seems to be alive, some kind of image or maybe even technology, an image that will have demonic presence. The mark will involve demonic presence. And the worship of the beast will only feed the beast and hook the satanic worshiper all the more. And those who are already yielded that to deep sin, Satanism, they're going to just fall right in line. A lot of New Agers are going to fall right in line for this false presentation, an angel of light. We also going to have the global presence and worship of Satan. Revelation 12, also 2 Thessalonians 2, where he sets himself up in the temple. And he is going to demand the worship of the world. That's what's going to happen. So again, New Agers will eventually become, again, they're going to be deceived. They're going to be betrayed. Satan's not going to let it stop at an eclectic spirituality. He's going to want to draw them into direct worship of him as a counterfeit savior. And many will. Many will to their own peril. The last thing on page 10 is this. Biblical revelation, satanic groups. How does all of the biblical revelation relate to then to the groups that we're dealing with? Biblical revelation about Satan's reality, his nature, his agenda, his purpose. What about psycho-Satanism, like Richard Ramirez? Again, people whose hearts are filled with anger, wickedness. Again, they become a tool like Judas. So if people already have wickedness and evil in their heart, Satan can use them and use them in bloody, horrible ways in harming and killing. I believe a lot of serial killers are energized demonically. Some of those who cut up people and dice them and slice them and all the horrific things I've seen in police video and police slides at the academy, it's incredible, horrible. Psycho-Satanism, usually you have one, maybe two Not always a group. Although, like Charles Manson, remember that whole thing there? Again, you got to realize how, you know, Manson's telling them, all these kids and girls and stuff, he's the Christ, he's their savior, he's Satan too. You got to realize that there's a connection there with the Process Church, which I believe is, again, a cloak for deeper level Satanism, Luciferianism. And so psychosatanism is open to, and you can see the biblical truths coming through in Satan using psychosatanists, people that, you know, are both living evilly and then the demons push them over the edge to do horrific, horrific crime. So we get a lot of satanic crime. The dabblers, you know, getting into Satanism, getting into little things, little so-called little rituals. Well, what are they doing? What about the three dogs in Pennsylvania strung up, you know, satanic ritual site? Well, the one here that we dealt with in Benton, Ohio, in a church where the dog was hung upside down dead and the blood let out and sacrificed. You know, I've been to a lot of these, you know, places. And sometimes it's dabblers involved with cats. That's why they tell you now on television during Halloween time, you're warned by media people to keep your cats and animals in. Because there are people out there that will take them to try to conjure powers and do things and get stuff. Popular Satanism, like Anton LaVey's style. Now, that's kind of strange because, you know, they don't even believe in a real Satan. They believe in the satanic principle, which we'll get into deeply in an upcoming session. But again, whether the principle of Satan and the person of Satan are inseparable. So if you're going to yield to his principles, whether you know it or not, you're yielding to him directly. And that's what we need to tell them. I had a call in on the Blog Talk Radio thing on Sunday nights we do, and a guy named Marcus that we're praying for now and had discussions with. He didn't believe there's a real Satan, but he's really intertwined in the satanic teach. You know, he's literally doing the satanic will. Like it says in Timothy, how Satan has taken them captive to do his will. There are people, even rock stars, that are doing Satan's will that probably have, you know, demonization on them that don't even know it. You know, they're so deceived they don't even know, you know, what they're doing. New Agers, yes, they're embracing Satanism in the sense of a Luciferic light, the invocation of Lucifer. David Spangler, many New Agers, including Oprah Winfrey now, and the book by Eckhart Tolle, which is clearly a revelation of the evolution of human consciousness to finding yourself being God, you being the truth. It's the same teaching. And so we have cloaked in Hinduism, cloaked in New Age and some psychobabble in that book, and cloaked in some New Age terminology is sheer Satanism in the sense of Satan's agenda is revealed in their teachings. The secret societies, Masons, OTO, Odu, Templarianus, Theosophical Society. Yes, especially in the OTO and some of the other secret societies, you're going to find a direct worship. Now, the worship may be that Satan is the light bearer. He's the good guy, like in Masonic circles. Masons like Albert Pike believes that Lucifer is the good guy. Traditional Satanism does do direct worship to Satan himself, does seek the very presence of Satan, does seek to lead their people through rituals of renunciation of Jesus and the Word of God and God, and lead them into a direct personal fellowship with Satan. And then Luciferianism, which is, I believe, the transgenerational, you know, bloodline groups that I believe, you know, comes down to the elite groups in Europe and other places that connect with the Bilderbergers, the Bohemian Grove, that have deep effect into politics, military, and others. And I really do. I believe that they know that the fuel behind their system is the need for satanic power. If you read Acts chapter 4, where the disciples prayed, God, give us boldness, give us all the boldness we need to continue to preach your word, and the power of God came down, shook the building, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, this is Acts chapter 4, and they stepped out to preach Jesus all the more, and God even did some tremendous miracles in that next chapter. Well, they operate the same way. And so hidden meetings there in the Vatican, in Europe, and other places throughout the United States, there are meetings that are going on where the Satan worshipers, the Luciferians, whether through ritual or whatever means, cry out for the powers of darkness, and they do come. And they do show supernatural things among them. And they do then send those powers to advance the satanic agenda and to try to hurt Christendom and to try to, again, target the political world. They're targeting the political world. They're targeting the military world. And without the aid and protection and superior presence of Jesus, the Spirit of God, and the Word of God, people are going to be devoured in a deceptive sabotage, a Trojan horse, spiritually speaking. We're at the end of part two of session three, and hopefully again you'll look over all the scriptures we've talked about, that you're studying the scriptures on the biblical foundations, the biblical revelation on Satanism and what Luciferian worship is all about and how it's happened in the past, how it occurred in the Old Testament, New Testament, and in biblical prophecy, how it will occur. And then take a look at the culture and say, you know what, God, I can't let them just steal the world. I've got to get up. I've got to be out there and got to reach the world for Jesus. Well, that's God's goal. He's not willing that any perish. He's willing to save satanic priests and priestesses and those elitists. And we need to target them. We need to target them in prayer. We need to pray that God will bring extraordinary exposure. I'd rather see them get in trouble, be brought down, be exposed, repent, cry out to God, get saved, expose their own dark systems, and still, you know, go to heaven. That's a victory for Jesus. And that's kind of like the Saul of Tarsus principle. We might feel that they're breathing out murderous threats, but ultimately, we need to realize that they're living in deception, ignorance, and yeah, they may go to hell. They may go, and we may need to tell them that if they do not repent, that that's exactly what's going to go. You know, and we need to proclaim to them Revelation, 19 through the end of Satan's doom and of the lake of fire where Satan's thrown. And a lot of times, you know, undergrounders and Satanists and demonized individuals have asked me about that, and it scares them, and that's good. Hopefully enough so that they'll open up and listen to the Word of God and be willing to turn to Jesus. God is big. What seems impossible to men is possible with God. And Jesus has said, nothing is impossible to we who believe. So we must believe the Lord for the greatest. We need to pray that God will unleash the greatest levels of presence and power and sign and wonder and work. Of the Holy Spirit and of the Word of God. And still remember that the gospel is the power of God. I'm not ashamed. I don't care what elitist, intellectual, Satanist, Luciferian, I don't care who, where, what. There is nothing that compares to the information of the gospel, which reveals Jesus. He is incomparable. And they need to hear. And it's the Word of God that has power in it and the Spirit of God that will use it to cut through their satanic protections, to pierce them, and to hear God calling them to repent and to turn to Jesus. So the Lord bless you again. Keep prayed up. Keep strengthened up. Ask the Lord to use you this week in leading somebody to Jesus. Study these materials so you can be on the cutting edge of the things that are coming and the things that are here. And you'll be a good servant in your local church to warn of things and to protect of the, you know, because again, Satan, if he can't come in hog wild, he'll come in inch by inch in little increments to eventually bring deeper and broader corruption. And so like Jesus, he warned early churches in the book of Revelation chapters 2 and 3, that he didn't tolerate the satanic, the mixture, the satanic corrupting things that were coming into the churches, and that we're not supposed to tolerate it either. And we're to stay spiritually pure in our personal lives and in our church lives. Well, anyway, Lord bless you. We'll see you in the next session and continue the course.